Thank you so much. You may be seated this morning. Luke chapter number 22. Luke chapter number 22, verse 39 through 44. What to do with what you don't want. How often in life, and regardless of your polished plan, your desires, expectation, what do you do when life drops in your hand something you don't want? It could be debt. It could be memories from a bad relationship. It could be a car note that you can't afford, a mortgage you can't afford. It could be stress. It could be people. It could be breast cancer. What do you do with what you don't want? Now, God, I get this thing about you being in control and you know what you're doing. But I'm not feeling it right now. I know you, God, and I know that you love me, and I know that you have plans and purpose for my life. But I don't understand why I have to go through this thing. And we all know that God allow it to rain on the just as well as the unjust. Now, who could be more just than Jesus? And so even though Jesus in the supernatural understood God because he is God, but in the natural on this earth, he says, wait a minute, let this cup pass before me. In other words, Jesus was saying, I don't want this. What do you do when life gives you something and you want to give it back, but life don't want to receive it? What do you do when you begin to go through something and the process of going through something, even though God loves you, you're searching for, where are you now in my life? I know what you did for Miss Barbara, but can you bless me the same way? I know what you did for Miss Betty, but where are you when I'm crying you and I'm going through something? God, where are you now? And so even though God is a just God, a righteous God, God sometimes will allow us to go through something and it seems like he'll step away and say, still trust me? Oh, I know you're upset. But are we still friends? I know you don't understand what I'm doing, but can I count on you to count on me? See, when you begin to go through something and you know your friends walk away because you've been sick 2 days too many, and so they don't have time for you anymore, and so they walk away, and God is saying, but I still got you, and you say, but God, I need somebody just to hold me, somebody to say I love you, somebody not to quote a scripture to me, just let me know I'm still here. God, where are my friends? And so you begin to go through something, and as you begin to go through something, God is saying, but I'm going to walk you through a process. And as I begin to walk you through this process, he says, you got to trust me going through this process. You see, because when you begin to go through something, what you'll discover is that as you begin to go through something, the whole ordeal is to get you more obedient to God. Well, God, it seems like when you have a conversation, I can be a little bit more obedient when I have to go through all this just to get me here. And so God is saying, but I need to press out of you. Notice that Jesus began the story at the Mount of Olives. In other words, what he's saying is that I have to take you in the garden, and I have to allow all weird stuff to grow up in you and around you, but I'm crushing you because I know that there's an anointing inside of you. I know what I'm bringing out of you. And so I'm taking you through a dark time But there is light at the end. Somebody said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I don't know about you, but I'm declaring sunshine in my life. I'm declaring the sun will shine again. So Jesus began, he begins at the Mount of Olives. And as he began at the Mount of Olives, the Bible declares that he is in the Mount of Olives. And there he is in the Mount of Olives. And he says, listen to this, check this out. Jesus says to God, Jesus says to God, who he knows. He knows everything about God. But he says to God, let this cup pass away. I wonder if you have any relationships in your life that the moment you saw them, you said, no, let this cup. Not him. Not her. Just God, I drink from the next cup, but not this one right here. I wonder if you ever met any folk in your life, and when you met them instantly, you knew that was all wrong for you. But you did it anyway. So Jesus says to God, God, let this cup pass before, but not my will. He says, thou will. In other words, he's saying to God, he says, I trust you more than I can see. He says, I'm going through something right now. I don't want to deal with it right now. He says, but I know that you have a greater plan for me. So he says, let this cup pass before me. And then the Bible declares that suddenly there appeared an angel. Now notice that God did not change Jesus' situation. In other words, he left the situation the way that it is, but he says, I'm not going to change it. Watch this. But I want you to play the hand that has been dealt to you. See, if you know anything about cards, Paula, because you look like you do. When you begin to play cards, all you need is one and a P. A possibility, right? That's what you need, right? See, what Jesus wants us to understand is that all things are possible. So he's the possibility. He walks you through something to see if you're the one. Are you the one that connect with the P called Jesus Christ? Oh, he's the possibility. All things are possible if you just believe. Where's your faith? See, you thought Jesus was on trial, but he's saying, if you're the one, I'm going to bring you through this mess. If you're the one, deal with the hand that you have. See, sometimes one and a P could be a losing battle, but it depends on the possibility. If the possibility is tied up in my faith, I'm going to win this game. And so he says, is your faith right? See, if your faith right, your faith can move mountains. If your faith is right, your faith can do anything. But he says, now watch this. He says, suddenly an angel appeared. When that angel appeared, notice the next thing. That angel appeared and it began to strengthen him. So he goes from playing the hand that you've been dealt. He says, now I'm going to need you to push just a little bit. Just a little bit. See, sometimes when you begin to go through something, when everybody is gone, you then have to encourage yourself. I don't need a blessing from you. I don't need a that looks good on me from you. I don't need none of that, not from you. Because I can look in the mirror and say, God created me, and I'm satisfied with what God has created. I can look in the mirror and say, breast cancer may be in here, but that's not who I am. I can look in the mirror and say, all things are possible. I can look in the mirror and say, I am an overcomer. I can look in the mirror and say, I'm coming out of this mess. I may be damaged, but I'm coming out. I may be abused, but I'm coming out. Credit may be jacked up, but I'm coming out of this thing. I don't know about you, but where you going?
gets a lot of praise. I say gets a lot of praise. Now his line can be praised. He's worthy to be praised.
Yes, he is.
He's worthy. And so watch this. So this morning, here we are. Here we are this morning, and we're celebrating or acknowledging October's Breast Cancer Month. And so the Bible declares that the angel appeared, and as the angel appeared to strengthen Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. If Jesus is the Son of God, part of the Trinity, but he need to be strengthened, what about you? See, somebody told you you were weak because you need prayer. Somebody told you that in the midst of going through something, you know, just you got to find it, and you got to know that God is going to walk you through it, in which all of that is true. But when you begin to go through something, my word tells me, say, where two or three is gathered. You ought to grab somebody right now that you know is praying with you. You ought to grab somebody right now and give God a Holy Ghost praise. If you want to dance, stand up and give a Holy Ghost dance this morning. Put a little shout out to the Lord this morning. Just give him some praise this morning. Give him some praise this morning. Praise him this morning. Watch this. The Bible declares that the angel appeared. Now, when the angel appeared, to strengthen Jesus. See, sometimes when you begin to go through something, you have to learn how to talk to yourself. Let me switch on you. Just quickly this morning. So you begin to go through something, and you know, ladies, when you begin to go through something and you're having a bad day, you can always go to the salon. You may be having a bad day, but you can go to the salon. You can get your hair done. It changes everything about you. Fellas, you notice women when they come out of salon, they walk sexy. She walks out of salon. She looks strong. She looks sexy. She got it all together. But I want to talk to that woman this morning who she went to the salon and discovered cancer. Chemo. Cut to her hair. What does she do?
Praise him.
Amen.
That's what you need. Hallelujah.
See, your whole day is tied up in your appearance. And she said, take the hair and the eyebrows. You can even have one of my breasts.
You can have both of them. But I still got to praise and shout out. Sometimes you think you know somebody. You think they were being cute when they cut their hair. No, baby, it's sad out. But they still got life and they still go crazy. You're being sad. Because you got your hair looking good. And she got some weed. And you saying, now that don't look good on her. But it looks better than being bald. Leave her alone. Because you don't know somebody's story. The first one is this, is that you have to understand about a woman and her body is that, listen, part of her breast is connected to her identity. So when you see her, you know her from a dude because you see her breast. Don't get sexual on me. I'm being spiritual with you.
That's right. That's right.
And so now imagine that woman who all her life, you can look at her and know instantly she's a beautiful woman.
Amen.
And now imagine the insecurities that set in because now here's some doctor talking about I may have to cut them off. Here's some doctor talking about I may have to change your identity. Here's some doctor who's saying that you may die as a result of this. And now she's struggling. Do I keep them or do I let them go? What do I do? And you have the audacity to judge her and say, oh, just go ahead and cut them off. But you don't understand her connection with her own breath. That's part of her identity. That she, when she look at her children, she look at her children and she know that it was her breast through her breast that she fed her children. It was through her breast that she took care of her baby. And when she got her boo, she even... this morning. We grow, right? Let's talk about some real stuff in the church. Because if we can't talk in the church, where can I talk about it? If I can't celebrate my body in the church, where the heck can I celebrate it? God created it. Why can't I celebrate it? Her breast is part of her identity. That's part of what she looks like. When she look in the mirror, she sees that, guys, just like you see it. She even fix it up so you can see it better. That's part of her identity. So now, she has to make a choice. She has to make tough decisions about her identity. Do I keep them? Or do I let them go? What do I do with what I don't want? I don't want cancer. I have to make some choices, some decisions. And they're not just decisions that I make in the doctor's office today. Because when I walk out tomorrow without them, my whole life changes. Even if I keep them, once chemo is in my body, now my whole life changes. Where I used to walk around and I can put my hand through my hair, now all of a sudden it's gone. And you have the audacity to put your faith, your trust in how you look and judge somebody else. You must be out your mind. That's part of my identity. Not only is it a part of her identity, it's also part of her image. Now remember, she was created in the image of God. So when God created her, he gave her the breast. And so here it is, God has given her that, because that's part of the image in which what he wants her to be expressive, to show himself through her. And so now her image is also messed up, because then it becomes a psychological thing. Am I still a woman? I mean, if I don't have breasts, then does that still make me a woman? Or how can I deal with this thing? Because the last time I had a conversation with someone about breast cancer, she's no longer with us. She's dead.
All right, now.
So this is nothing that I need to approach with simplicity, because this thing can change my life or end my life.
Yes, sir.
So what do you do when you're dealing with something and you don't want it? God, I can pray to you and I can say, God, heal me, because you said by your stripes I am healed, and I've been praying, but I still have breast cancer.
Yeah, all right now.
But God, you moved and you stepped in and you healed someone else of breast cancer, but what about me, God? I'm thankful for what you did for somebody else, but what about me? And God does nothing. Nothing. Can I trust you right there? And God is saying, but if you'll submit to me, you'll understand that even in this rough place, I still got a plan. You'll understand that I got you preaching a sermon now about trusting in the Lord, and people see you going through, your hair fell out, your eyebrows gone, you look like you lost all your weight, but though you slay me, yet will I trust you, Lord, and I'm still trusting you, I'm still standing on your word, I still believe in the power of healing, I still believe that everything is going to be alright. And so God, everybody walked out, but there's more room for you to walk in my life. Won't God do something in your life when he steps in? I say, won't God do something in your life when he steps in? Man steps out, God steps in. When God steps in, he says, I'll give you peace. I may not remove it, but play a hand that's a doubt. I may not do anything right now. He says, but you gotta press your way through. Now watch this. Jesus says the angel appeared. When the angel appeared, it says instantly the angel strengthened him. When the angel strengthened him, it says now Jesus was praying. There's still power in prayer. I said there's still power in prayer. See, it's something about prayer that makes everything all right. It's something about prayer that turns the situation around. I know the doctor says you got cancer, but... The word but means to cancel something out. See, only the love of Christ can cancel out your cancer. If you trust him going through, he says, I'll cancel that thing out. And you say, well, what about the people that died? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So if I died on this side, I woke up over there. No more tears, no more crying, no more loneliness, no more being talked about, no more being abused. However you do it, God, don't do it without me. This my season. Whatever you do, don't do it without me. It may involve pain, but don't do it without me. It may involve embarrassment, but don't do it without me. It may involve somebody walking out, but don't you leave me. It may involve being lied on, but don't you leave me. God, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. Says Jesus began to pray. When he began to pray, we have to understand the power of prayer. Jesus, the love of Jesus Christ, cancels out your cancer. Jesus says, let this cup pass before me. Jesus knew what was in the cup. He looked in the cup. He saw sin. Not his.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
I don't even want to say ours. I want to say mine. See, I think that's the problem sometimes. I think the problem sometimes is that when we begin to talk about things, we're so impersonal about them.
Yeah.
It's like breast cancer. You know, she has breast cancer. Or he, by the way, guys, have breast cancer.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
But when we personalize things,
yeah,
it gives it a new meaning.
Yeah.
When we understand that what was in that cup was my sin and your sin. Yes, I'm praying for you. But God, I need you right now. And so you begin to go through things and you say, God, what are you going to do for me right now? And God is saying, but I got you. Let this cup pass before
me.
I don't want it. I can't give it away. If I submit to God, He'll make everything.
Yes, He will.
Yes.
The results may not be what I anticipated, but they're His.
Yes.
If they're His results, it ought to be good enough for me.
Amen.
See, sometimes you find yourself walking through the valley in the shower.
Yes. My God.
The shower.
Mm-hmm.
The shower.
Yeah.
The shadow.
Yeah.
The shadow of death.
Yeah.
But if you fear no evil, He says, listen, I'm going to comfort you. I'm going to comfort you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to talk with you. I'm going to hold your hand. And even when you're so weak, when chemo got you down, He says, I'll even
carry
you. Do you know that God will deliver you from this? When man writes you off, God says, it's my time. Do you know what everybody say you're through? God is saying, now I'm ready for you. Watch me do a new thing. And you trying to look at yourself and say, God, how you going to do it with me like that? He says, I did that to you because I love you. I did that to you because I'm putting a testimony in you. I can't give you a testimony until I first let you go through the test. You went through the test. You passed the test. Come on and tell somebody the goodness of God. I allowed you to go through that thing. I walked you out of that thing. And no devil in hell is going to separate you from my God. Give the Lord some praise. Whether or not your loved one is still here, give God some praise. If He took them home, give God some praise. Because He is worthy to be praised. He's so worthy to be praised. Jesus says, let this cup pass before. In other words, He says, the cup is filled with sin. He says, I don't want it right now because it's not my time. See, only God knows time. Only God knows time. I want to talk to that person in closing this morning where you've been trying to time your salvation.
All right now.
I'm going to do it on this day.
Amen.
I'm going to wait till somebody else come. Then I'm going to do it.
Ah.
I want to talk to you about timing. See, timing is in the hand of God.
Yes.
He's merciful and he's graceful.
Yes, He is.
And He's been extending. Come on and stand with me if you're not standing this morning. I want to say to you that if you're here and you have something and you don't know what to do with it, I want you to turn it over to Jesus this morning.
Have mercy.
I want you to turn it over to Him this morning. Let it begin with your life. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to turn your life over to Him. Don't call Him when you have cancer. When you're smiling today.
Amen.
Don't come to Him on your deathbed. Come to Him today.
Amen.
Just as you are. Just come. If you're here, no church home. If you're here, you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. Just move into the city. You come. You need a church home? We need you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. need you. We need you. Today is your day. Today is your day. Today is your day. Today is your day. You know, this morning we recognize those that has dealt with breast cancer, whether or not you are infected or your family is affected by it. And so as we recognize breast cancer, I want you to say, God, I want to recognize you as being the head of my life. Why don't you simply surrender to him and say, God, have your way with me. What do you want from me? Will there be others? Salvation. You need a church home.